Welcome to another episode of In Bed with Books. I'm your host, Melissa, and today we are going to be talking about 2025 reading goals. My overall goals for this year are less goals so much as they are focuses. I've got a lot of projects going on at the moment, and so the idea of setting like one or two goals for each of those things is also just very, very overwhelming. And so this year, instead of doing SMART goals, which I do highly recommend SMART goals for your resolutions if that's something that you really resonate with, I am, of course, doing SMART goals elsewhere. But my resolutions are more about like theme focuses. The big one for me overall is consistency. I really, really want to step up showing up more often, especially with the podcast and with reading, getting back in touch with the things and the reasons that I enjoy reading and I enjoy being like in the Bookstagram and the BookTube community. And so again, that word consistency was coming up a lot in a lot of my intentions for the year. So in that light, I have also asked myself, what kind of reader do I want to be in that space, in this space as a Bookstagrammer and a BookTuber? And I kind of hate saying that word out loud, BookTuber, but that is essentially what I'm doing here. And so those are the two themes that I was focusing on when looking at what I wanted to focus on for 2025. And a lot of this, I guess to clarify, I like to set goals kind of in December and then not do anything with them until January, like mid-January, because it's very easy to set a lot of goals for yourself over the holiday, and then you get back to work and everything's running at full speed and nothing's actually getting done. So I kind of set some goals for myself in December, sat on them, reassessed. And so at the time of filming this, I think I've nailed down exactly what I'm kind of focusing on for this year with my reading goals and then a little bit of the podcast stuff. The very first intention for this year is less pressure. A lot less pressure on myself, and not like, you know, not sticking to my guns with things, but rather being realistic about my energy and where I can put that energy and pacing myself with things. So first of all, I'm going to keep my currently reading to a 3-book list, which in the past I've read upwards of like 4 or 5 books at a single time. And so, you know, the jump from 3 to 4 is not crazy, but once I've got 4 going, then it's not that hard to get 5 going, and then nothing gets read because there's so much choice going on that I'm not able to just like sit down and be like, this is what I want to read right now. So limiting myself to 3 books currently reading at a time, also limiting myself to 2 arcs at a time. I got very, very trigger happy with sending out those requests on NetGalley, and it's easy to have a lot of arcs if you're constantly sending out requests. It's the numbers game for sure, and I wanted the yeses so bad that I was just sending out a bunch of requests. But right now, I'm setting a new rule for myself that if I'm currently reading 2 arcs, I don't need to send out a request. I can wait until I've finished one or finished both, even. What a novel idea. Finishing both arcs and then requesting more arcs. Which kind of relates to the third subheading on this, which is to stop using my library holds in the Libby app as a TBR. I've gotten into the habit of pulling up the book in the Libby app and requesting it through there. You know, I don't see it right away, but then it'll pop up and I can read it then. Except that when I've got 12 books, no, when I've got like 8 books, I think is the limit. When I've got 8 books on hold and then 6 of those books show up at once, and then I'm partway through one book and 2 more books show up, I don't read. It's too much. It's too much choice. I don't want all of that choice. I think I got so attached to not having to choose for my TBR that I just moved the like threat of having to make a choice into a different spot, which was in the library holds instead. Leave it to them, but then I get all of these library holds and I still can't make a choice. So, actively using my TBR lists in StoryGraph, which I've decided to use StoryGraph this year, and I'm probably going forward. I think I was getting really overwhelmed with having to track in so many spots, but I think from here on out, I'm just going to track in StoryGraph. I'm not going to do a Notion, or I think with Goodreads, I'll keep the account and I'll probably just do ARC reviews in there because I know the authors really benefit from that, but I'm not going to have, you know, four or five different digital and analog spaces to go recording all of this information. It's just too much. So I'll do review episodes for every once in a while, my favorite reads, but I'm not going to be, I just can't. I don't have the energy to record it in all of those different places anymore. And then there was all of the drama, you know, at the beginning of January with all of the other, like, Fable and their use of AI, which was like, I feel like we could have avoided that. I feel like that was not, that didn't have to be as big of an issue as Fable turned it into. There was very reasonable critique of what was going on, and they handled it very poorly, in my opinion. So less pressure or low pressure, just to, one, force myself to make decisions earlier on, or at the very least, not setting myself up for failure with decision making later on. The second goal here, or intention, is actually not just for books, but I've got like a book version of it, which is low buy. So if you've been online at all over the last month, I'm sure you've seen plenty of people talking about doing a low buy year this year, which makes sense. Things are getting so expensive, and I think it's become very easy to just buy. I think this is my version of low buy, which is removing a level of the convenience, because it's very easy to buy, you know, two or three Kindle books if they're really cheap suddenly. But then the two or three together, it's not actually savings. You're still spending outside of your budget, or, you know, the immediate gratification of getting a paperback book from Amazon in 2 days defeats the purpose of having to think about the money that you're spending. And I know that that is something I have a huge, huge problem with. I will absolutely spend the money if I allow myself the convenience of something like Amazon. And so this year I'm going to try my best to not shop on Amazon if I can help it. The overall low buy rule, not just book related, is to wait 3 to 5 business days essentially to press purchase. Just leave things in carts. If it's something that I know that I do need, so like, I really, really enjoy skincare outside of books. I think skincare is the next most expensive thing that I'm spending on regularly. If I want to try a new product, let's say I'm running low on like a face wash. Running low does not mean you're out. You don't need to buy it right away. I'm talking to myself here, and I'm going to be editing this later, and so I'm telling myself, you don't have to do it, Melissa. So waiting those 3 to 5 days before you hit purchase, just letting it sit in the cart. Cookies are keeping it on the cart, in the cart, whatever you want to call it. You can survive a few extra days. And then deciding at the end of that if you actually need it. And I think I've kind of already started doing this. And at the very least, it's nice to be like, actually, I am still thinking about it. It's not just something that I was influenced by, because I did find last year that I was influenced by, you know, a nice aesthetic quote reel or TikTok or whatever, and buying the book and then not reading it and then reading it and being dissatisfied because I didn't look into it well enough to realize if I actually would have enjoyed the book. So in those 3 to 5 days, also spending the time to look a little deeper into the purchase. If I need to convince myself, I can convince myself, but let's exit the little bubble of influencing that I'd let kind of fall over me. So I guess the low buy is also a little bit about allowing myself to like pull out of the influencing a lot and getting back into what I actually enjoy reading and allowing myself more space to do that rather than feeling like I have to read something because I'm seeing a bunch of content about it. Something that I have been doing outside of buying is, and that I'd like to keep up the habit of, is buying more from borrowing more from libraries. I love the library. I've been a library kid since I was a kid, and I will support libraries till the end of my days. That being said, I still need to remember point number one, which is low pressure, not, you know, maxing out my holds on the library, not maxing out my requests in the Libby app. Maybe even spending more time at the library just to kind of like get back into those spaces. And then also buying local or buying small. I love bookshop.org, and I think I stopped buying from them as much last year because, again, that convenience factor. I was definitely like searching for that convenience, that little like bubble of happiness that you get from the shipped email coming 30 minutes after you've ordered something. But I love supporting small businesses, so I want to make sure that I'm doing that again more consciously this year. So that's kind of my, you know, low buy part of, or the reading part of my low buy intention. The third intention that I have for this year is to seek out more in-person community for like bookish topic stuff in the Phoenix Valley. I think reader and writer communities in the Valley have been very, very centralized, or at least like the well-known ones have been very centralized to like downtown Phoenix. There's some really awesome bookshops out there and some really awesome cafes, and I think that really breeds that kind of community naturally. But just over the last maybe 6 months, I've seen more stuff coming up with like silent book clubs, or over the weekend, I just went to the Readers of the Valley conference. It was the very first one that they've put on, and it was very, very exciting just to be in community in person with these people. And I also want to recognize that like in-person events are still not possible for everyone, but that doesn't mean it's impossible to engage with the community that's relevant around you. Because they're putting on events, not just Readers of the Valley, but the woman who runs that also runs, I don't know how often they are, but they're like weekend markets. And that's the kind of stuff that I want to get back into again. I used to do this kind of stuff for not bookish stuff, and I really, really enjoyed that. And I think, especially after spending time with a room full of readers at the conference over the weekend, I really want to make sure to like intentionally be engaging in that kind of community again. Community kind of like as a verb, like being in community with other people. When I was younger, reading was very much an escape. I was a very anxious kid, and so I think reading was an escape from how stressful it was just being human for me. But now that I've, you know, I don't know that I've grown out of that stress, but I've definitely moved through it in a way that makes it feel different. And I think reading now is less about escaping how anxious I am and more about getting to share stories with people who are interested in the same stories as me. It's very exciting. I like it. And it was nice to go to that event and to remind myself that, like, yeah, that is an intention that I definitely want to keep for this year. And then my fourth intention is less of that and more of the question that I started with, which is, who do I want to be in this space? I think the beginning of the year, bookish spaces on a few different social media sites that I'm on, there was so much rage bait, a lot of rage bait content. And I get it. That gets engagement and that gets people talking about your content. But the problem with rage bait, and the problem that these people that I'm thinking of have with, or that I have with the way that they did it, is that when people raged back, they couldn't take the heat. And don't get me wrong, I can totally understand like being averse to conflict and not wanting to be yelled at on the internet. But if you're going to rage bait with content, then you have to be prepared for the possibility of that biting you in the ass. And so what I realized is that I, look, I love reading messy books. I love being a hater sometimes. Like, you know, we listen and we don't judge. I'm there judging you. That being said, I don't think that that's the kind of content that I want to be known for putting out. I think there are plenty of negative voices on the internet and in people's heads. Like, I don't want to be a voice who's affirming for somebody, you know, the worst fear about their writing or the worst fear about their art or whatever it is. I think if you're going to be a hater, you either have to be prepared for people to come for you, or you have to be prepared to only be engaging with negative things. And there are plenty of negative things going on elsewhere. I want to make sure that we, the podcast, create a space where we can just have fun. I don't think that means you can't be critical. There's a difference between being critical and like rage baiting or being a hater. Being critical is very necessary, and it's also integral to bookish spaces. But there's a difference between saying, I think the writing is X, Y, and Z, or I think this character is like X, Y, or Z, and saying, this character is a piece of shit because of this decision that was very much written into the plot, and it was plot driven, and it was a choice that I didn't like, so they're badly written. It's like, that's not, we can be critical without being major haters. I think we should all just not yuck each other's yums. We don't need to be making videos about how book talk creates the worst, you know, book recommendations or whatever that creator talked about. We don't need to be talking about all of our DNFs and how it's just a DNF because they were LGBTQ stories. That, in my opinion, is not a good enough reason to DNF. Not diverse reading. That being said, I want to make sure that the content that I'm putting out and the kind of essentially like the career that I'm making with this podcast is not about shitting on other people's art. If there are negative things, I want to, as much as possible, be conscious of making sure that it's critical rather than negative. But yes, so those are the intentions that I'm trying to have while I'm reading this year. I'd be very interested to hear your own, I guess, the very basics of it. I want to try to read 30 books this year. I want to step out of my comfort zone with maybe a genre or an author. I tend to return to the same authors that I know and love. I'd like to step out of my comfort zone with, I guess, genre, but I wouldn't mind reading even some decent nonfiction this year if I can find it. I was reminded of some nonfiction that I liked as a kid over the holiday, and I'm like, I could easily go back into something like that. So those are my goals for this year, my intentions and then my actual reading goals. If you're like me and you're on StoryGraph, then you know that they set challenges or they've got challenges through the whole year, and then they've also got some that are just monthly. And one of them that I've added myself to is actually to kind of like, the goal is to branch out with your reading. So I'm very excited to do that, to consciously kind of step out of my comfort zone a little bit. Which I'm surprised to say, because last year I was very anti-stepping out of my comfort zone. It was not something that was regularly paying off for me, but I'm hoping this year, if I go in with better intentions, that that will pay off a little bit better. But yeah, tell me some of your reading goals in the comments down below. I'm very excited to hear them. 30 books for me is a lot, according to my stats from the last few years, but I know some people like to read like hundreds of books a year. Couldn't be me. Do not have the attention span. But one day, hopefully, I am powerful enough to also read 200 books a year. And then also, if you have any exciting books, I guess I'm trying not to set a TBR, because then it feels like it's like a demand to set like too aggressive of a TBR for myself. But this year I am going to continue reading The Hollows, Backlog, the previous, like the original 13 books. And then there's a couple of sequels coming out this year that I know I have to grab. But other than that, I would love to hear if there are any hopefuls that you're looking forward to this year. But if you're just here to vibe and read, then I am right there with you, because sometimes it feels like so much pressure. And I'm just trying to not have as much pressure on me this year. But good luck reading this year, whether it's ebooks, regular books, audiobooks, because audiobooks are reading. And I hope you hit your goals. Until next time, happy reading.
Thank you for joining me for another episode of In Bed with Books, a bookish podcast for bookish babes. Make sure to like and subscribe so you can keep up with all of the latest updates. And if you have any suggestions for authors, books, or topics that you want to hear about on the podcast, then feel free to DM me on Instagram or shoot me an email. I'm wishing you a lovely rest of your day, and until next time, happy reading.